ABC Listen. Podcasts, radio, news, music, and more.
Jack McLennan was 27, fit and visibly strong.
He was trained well. He knew how to hit, and I was gobsmacked.
He seemed ready for anything, but then he suddenly vanished.
I was just talking to him last night, like, how the hell does that happen?
I'm Rob Bergen. Join me as I investigate what became of Jack in the new season of Unravel.
There has to be something more nefarious going on.
Search for the Unravel podcast on ABC Listen or wherever you get your podcasts.
This podcast includes the name and voice of an Aboriginal person who's died.
Hello, Kirsty.
Hello.
Last time we spoke, you were telling me about Tammy's story.
Mm-hmm.
And you were explaining how she got sicker and sicker while she was in prison, but no one intervened until it was too late.
Yeah, I just need to make a phone call. Nobody knows where I am.
She just drank and drank and drank and had something like 20 litres of water.
Stillwater Women's Correctional Centre. I've got a woman unconscious. They've just put the defib on her. She's not responding.
And Tammy's family is really angry about how she was treated in prison.
They still didn't let me know for hours after she was dead.
But something we didn't really talk about last time was how she actually ended up in jail in the first place. Before I ask you about that, though, I should probably say I'm Erin Park, you're Kirsty Willauer, and this is episode 2 of Tammy's story. So, where do we start?
I want to start 26 years before Tammy walks into that prison cell in Silverwater Jail. That's the year she becomes a mum for the first time. She gives birth to a baby boy, Liam, and that's what we're calling him for this podcast because his real name is protected by the courts. Liam and Tammy had a special bond, and that's why I reached out to him.
Perfect.
All right, I can hear you.
Yeah.
Sorry for the tech difficulty there.
Yeah, no worries. No worries.
How are you?
I'm not too bad.
He knows I've been investigating the circumstances around his mum's death, and he agreed to speak with me. Growing up, Liam was always close to Tammy.
There's a funny photo of both of us. We did a fake marriage, and I think I was probably like 5 or 6, and we got married, and like I dressed up, and she put all makeup on me.
Tammy's always been Liam's biggest supporter. She used to drive him to his dance classes, and whenever he performed, she'd be sitting right at the front.
You know, she just always was so, like, accepting of me and, like, what I wanted to do.
But by the time Liam was a teenager, he started noticing his mum was acting strange at times.
There are stories of things that, you know, I remember my mum doing when I lived in that house, and, like, you can't even, like, imagine being a kid. Now that I look back at it, I'm like, it was kind of crazy, the things that I saw.
Sometimes Tammy's mental health spiralled out of control. One day Liam even ended up having to call the police. Tammy was taken to a mental health institution for a while. The kids went to live with their dad. But when she got better, Tammy came home to her kids. And for a time, things were good. Then something happened that Liam thinks shook his mum to her core. Tammy almost died giving birth to his younger sister. He was only 13 at the time.
To get this call saying that my mum's now on life support, I felt like my mum was going to die in that moment.
She survived and so did the baby. But from that point on,
her mental health just started to decline and, you know, there was hallucinations, you know, and schizophrenia.
And things just got unbearable for Liam.
I was probably in year 11 or year 10. I decided that, you know, for me, it was just too much living in the house with her mental illness.
So he moved out and followed the passion Tammy nurtured in him and became a dancer. He travelled the world, and then one day he gets back from an overseas trip. Liam doesn't see his mum straight away, but he's been chatting to his sisters, and they say that Tammy's taken a bad turn in the last few months. She's been shoplifting and taking drugs.
My siblings that lived with her said that she definitely became very overwhelmed in those last few days before this all happened. My sisters did say that she would think that, like, she would hear things, and, you know, once again, you know, that's some schizophrenia that's now talking.
He knows the signs because he's witnessed them before. and he's worried. And Liam's right to be worried, because Tammy's in a crisis.
She wants somewhere where she knows that she'll be protected. She was asking for help.
She's only days away from being sent to Silverwater Prison. It's a Friday morning and Tammy's at Macquarie Fields Police Station. No one has brought her here. She's come here by herself. And she tells the police that she wants to be locked up.
She tells them that she wants to be arrested?
Yeah, that she wants to be locked up.
Why would she do that?
We don't know much more about this, but we know she isn't arrested and she leaves the police station. Later that morning, at 11 a.m, Tammy arrives at Glen Quarry Shopping Centre in southwest Sydney. It's your standard Australian shopping centre. There's bright shops lining either side, there's big sliding doors at the front, and Christmas music is playing over the speakers. Tammy walks into Target, walks around the store, and places some items in a black tote bag. A sandwich press, a nail brush, some clothes, and a quesadilla maker.
All right, so she's picked up some fairly regular routine items.
Yeah. And then she kind of wanders towards the exit without paying.
Mm-hmm.
But she's caught by a staff member and they ask to check her bag and they notice the items were stolen. And so security come.
Mm.
Tammy's taken to this back room, this back office kind of room in Target. She gives them a fake name at the time, Skylar Rose, and then they wait for police to arrive.
And Kirstie, is there CCTV of that playing out?
We haven't seen the CCTV, but we've been given access from the courts to see the body-worn vision from the arresting police officers.
Oh.
And so it starts in this office room in the back of Target. It's kind of, you know, white desks, just a very bland office space.
And what's Tammy's demeanour like?
She appears pretty calm and there's not a lot of emotion on her face. She's kind of just sitting there when these officers arrive. And the police start asking her questions.
So what can you tell me about the allegation that you've stolen some items today? Got nothing to say? So we've looked at some footage that appears to be you in the footage with a bag full of items walk out of the Target today. Is there anything you want to say about that? No.
She's polite and cooperating.
Before we recorded, you've given us a false name, and then afterwards you've given us your real identity. So what was your name?
Tammy
Shirley. Okay, and how old are you?
47.
So the police decide to arrest Tammy.
I'm going
to
turn this one off now.
And they take her to Campbelltown Police Station, where they charge her with shoplifting and trespass. They're relatively minor offences. She's taken around $600 worth of goods. And so she's released on conditional bail and told that she mustn't return to the shopping centre.
Okay, so she's basically free to go home, just told very clearly, do not return to that shopping centre.
Yeah, exactly. And so Tammy walks out of the police station and she leaves. It's a bit of a commute for her to get back home, but after a bus ride and a walk, she makes it there okay. But then not long after, she leaves the house again. It's just before 6 p.m. It's daylight saving, so the sun's still up. She gets on her bike. Tammy rides back to the same shopping centre she was in that morning, the shopping centre she's not allowed to enter again. She ditches her bike out the front of Woolworths and heads in. Tammy walks down the aisles and she picks up a few items and places them again in that black tote bag. She walks through the self-service checkout without paying.
Okay.
And so again, staff and security spot her and quickly stop her from leaving the centre. Mm. She's taken behind the deli section to a short, narrow corridor where she sits on a black armchair and waits.
Okay. And police are called again?
Yeah.
It's almost a sense of deja vu with this scene that's playing out.
Yeah, exactly. So there's two police officers standing in front of her and Tammy's holding that black tote bag in her lap. And she bends down and pulls out a rolling pin, a kitchen knife and a bottle of olive oil. And she places them on the floor in front of her. Together they're worth $23.10.
Keep your hands where I can see them. Don't make any sudden movements, otherwise you'll be sprayed, okay?
Tammy is sitting straight up in her chair. Her arms hang down by her sides. One officer at this point puts on a pair of gloves. and he starts kind of rifling through her bag to see if there's anything else in there.
What was her name?
Tammy Shiki.
Tammy Shiki.
The police officer doesn't know Tammy's mental health history, but he does know about her visit to Macquarie Fields police station at the start of the day.
Did you go up to Macquarie station to report earlier?
Yeah.
What happened there?
I told them I had them in custody at home and they wouldn't charge me.
So she's actually revealing to those police officers that earlier that day she voluntarily went into a police station and said that she had stolen goods at home.
And that the police wouldn't charge her.
Did the police ask her then, like, why she wanted to be arrested?
At this point, no. The officers just move on and focus on what happened in Woolworths.
Okay, you don't have to say anything if you don't want to. You don't understand that? What are we going to do with these items? Hey, so did you purchase these items?
Tammy says no.
And what, did you walk out and try to walk out?
Tammy says yes.
Where did you try to walk out?
At the front door, at the service checkout, self-service checkout.
Yeah.
Tammy's still sitting straight in her chair, her arms hanging down by her side.
Yeah. Where from? Is there anything else in the bag that's stolen?
Eventually, the police officer asks if she's on bail.
Yeah, I just got charged at the police station at 355 under bail.
Today?
Yeah.
For work, and what are you charged with?
Beating Target and...
What, this morning? What, trespass?
Your trespass, that's it.
She runs her hand through her hair and then rests it on her legs.
So you're not supposed to be here? Is that right? This is all...
One of the officers says something about a further search being done, and Tammy closes her eyes. Her expression looks pained but calm, like she's enduring something she knows she just has to get through. The sounds of the shopping centre echo in the tiny hallway, and she keeps her eyes closed until the questions start again.
Do you know if you're banned from the whole centre or just the Target?
The
other centre. The centre, trespass?
Yep.
And then finally the officer asks Tammy.
So what's the go? You came to the station wanted to be mocked up?
Yep.
Or do you want to go to jail?
He's asking Tammy if she wants to go to jail. And Tammy says...
Yeah, it'd be nice.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
That would be nice as in being arrested would be nice.
Yeah, that'd be nice as in being in jail would be nice.
Did the police ask any more to understand why she would say that?
They asked what's been going on at home. And Tammy tells them about some really difficult family stuff that she's been dealing with. She also says she's been shoplifting because she's got no money. And the officers seem understanding, but they don't act surprised that she wants to go to jail. And so they eventually arrest her.
Right.
Are you happy to wait inside Glencore? Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you into the runner or we have to handcuff you?
Yeah, please don't run. Quite quick. Thanks, guys.
They take her outside. She sits down on a park bench and waits for a police car.
Just take a seat, Ethan.
Yeah, the female herself will see some catches by.
And that's where the tape stops. Tammy's taken back to Campbelltown Police Station. It's this two-story rectangular brick building, and it's the third time that she's been inside a police station today.
Oh, wow.
The two arresting officers hand Tammy over to a custody manager.
Mm-hmm.
They go through this process of filling out a custody management record. And so they ask a series of questions and fill out a form. And one of those questions is, do you have a history of or do you currently have a mental illness?
Okay.
And Tammy answers no.
So she doesn't let them know at all that she has schizophrenia. And what, that's just accepted?
Yeah, the police just believe her. They just assume that someone with a serious mental illness would self-report because it could help them to get released. That's what one of the police officers told the coroner later.
I mean, it's obviously strange that Tammy has told the staff that she wants to go to prison. Is there any other way that they could have found out that she does have a pretty serious mental health condition?
Yeah, well, they still should have known about Tammy's mental health issues because... when the police arrest someone, they're supposed to look up a person's file in this database that's called the COPS database, and it records a person's interactions with police. And I've seen a copy of Tammy's file from that database. It shows that just 13 days before her arrest, Tammy went to Macquarie Fields police station to report that she could hear her neighbour's voice in her head.
Gosh. So when you say talking in her head, it's like she's hearing voices that aren't actually there.
Yes, exactly. She was then taken to Campbelltown Hospital.
Okay.
And the record in the cops database for that event, at the top of the page under the heading mental health history, says schizophrenia. It clearly shows in the database that she had a history of mental illness.
Okay.
But there's no evidence the arresting officers checked this like they're supposed to. And the fact sheet that they handed over to the custody manager explicitly says police are not aware of any drug or mental health issues of the accused. We asked the New South Wales police about this, but they say they won't be commenting because the inquest hasn't been finalised yet.
So that's a real missed opportunity, isn't it? That they should have known that Tammy wasn't telling the truth about her mental health. What happens next?
So the police now have to decide whether to keep Tammy behind bars, release her on bail, or send her to a mental health service.
Mm-hmm.
And as they're making that decision, they're told by the computer system that Tammy has committed something called a show cause offence.
Okay, and a show cause offence, that's a pretty serious crime, isn't it?
Yeah, it's something that was introduced in New South Wales a decade ago as part of a crackdown on serious crime. You know, like bikies, murderers and those kind of groups. So normally when police are deciding if you should get bail, there's the assumption that you will get it unless there's a really strong reason that you shouldn't.
Okay.
But if you're accused of a show cause offence, then that swaps.
Mm.
So now it's up to you to provide that strong reason about why you should get it.
Okay.